middle of the Bible, in an attempt for us to learn the things that we can do so that we can be truly blessed by God. Last time we looked at Psalms, the book of Psalms, and there were so many in the book of Psalms, it took us the whole time just to cover that. So this morning we're going to look at the rest of the Old Testament and the New Testament. There aren't nearly as many in these sections as there were in the book of Psalms, but we hopefully will find some things that can help us to do things in our lives that will help us to be blessed by God. Certainly God does bless all people with the rain and the sunshine and things of that nature, but there are special blessings that He has only for those who are obedient to His will and only for those who are doing those things that specifically please Him. So we want to be a part of that group. We want to be doing everything we can to please Him. I want to begin this morning in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31, probably that passage is familiar to most of you. Solomon there describes what King Lemuel's mother taught him. And we don't know who King Lemuel was, but his mother was a wise woman, no doubt about it, because what she taught him was all about the virtuous woman, the noble wife, the woman who would make a good wife, the woman who would be a worthy companion for a righteous man. And certainly there are many things throughout that chapter that describe that woman. At the end of that passage, in verse 28, Proverbs 31 and verse 28, it says that her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. And you can see some of the things that she does. She takes care of the home, she takes care of her husband, her children, and she even has some jobs on the side, this woman does. She's a busy woman. But this woman takes care of her children and her husband first and foremost. I doubt many husbands or many children either would rise up and call the woman blessed for deserting them. No, certainly not. I doubt seriously that a husband would call the wife blessed if she neglected him. I doubt seriously that the children, after they wound up in prison because they hadn't been taught properly, would rise up and call their mother blessed. No, certainly she raised her children correctly and she saw to the needs that her husband had, first and foremost, so that they could rise up and call her blessed. And so we see that a woman who does her best to fulfill her duties to her children and to her husband, as well as to those around her, is blessed. Then we see in Isaiah chapter 56, this a twofold blessing, and one that we can't continue today, and one that we can. We'll begin in verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep my judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Well, now certainly someone would be free to keep the Sabbath, not to work on the Sabbath if they so chose today, but that's not going to bring them any closer to God. That old covenant that God had with the children of Israel, when He told them to keep that Sabbath day holy, that was nailed to the cross with Christ. A lot of us do take Saturday off, and we don't work on Saturday, but that was their day of worship under the Old Testament law. It's not anymore. We worship on the first day of the week because Jesus rose from the dead on that first day of the week. And He set then that day as the day of worship rather than the Sabbath day or the seventh day of the week. Now the first day of the week we give to God. many people suffer for the rest of their lives either the disgrace, the shame, the feeling of guilt, or perhaps something even more serious, perhaps they actually are cast in prison or sentenced even to death because of some evil that they did. The prayer a short time ago for the children in the schools to be safe, and reminded of those children in the past couple of years who have, as young people, destroyed their futures because of acts of evil that they've committed against their fellow classmates. They've destroyed everything that they could have looked forward to for the rest of their lives because they didn't keep themselves from evil. Perhaps because nobody taught them the importance of keeping themselves from evil. How important it is for us to understand that if we will keep our hands from doing evil, we will have blessing in this life, as well as the world to come. He also says in verse 1, though, that we are to keep judgment and do justice. We're supposed to be sure that we are fair, that we are judge a righteous judgment, as we're told in John. We need to be careful about the judgments we make. We need to be careful that we are fair and that we show justice, that we don't show favoritism. One of the things that the writer of Proverbs condemns are those who show favoritism towards somebody because they're rich. And they condemn, he condemns those people who show favoritism toward the rich and punish the poor, or show favoritism toward those who are popular and then turn against others, those that bear false witness against someone just because of their station in life. He says it's important for us to show justice in our lives, to do justice. It's not something we often think about being able to do. Do justice. We need to live in such a way that we do justice to everyone that we meet. We treat them justly and fairly. Then we see in the book of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 12. This passage might seem a little odd to us. We might think, what would it possibly mean to us? But verse 12, after Daniel has been talking about terrible time that's coming, and he's given the people a way of letting them know how they can know when this time is going to be up. He says in verse 12, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days." That time frame to us doesn't make any sense. We would have to study in depth about the visions of Daniel to understand that. But the key there is, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to that particular time. It might be said, blessed are those that endure, would have been just as easily applicable to this situation. Daniel points out that there may be troublesome times ahead. Those times are going to end, and he says that they're going to end at this particular point in the future, the 1,305 and 30 days. So he says there's going to be a time when these troubles that you're facing now are going to come to an end. He said, blessed is the man that waits, that makes it through, that's patient till the end, and makes it to the end, and gets to see the end of that suffering. Well, the same thing might be said to us today. Revelation 2:10 that we looked at this morning in class about being faithful unto death. We'll be blessed. We'll receive the crown of life. If we're faithful to death, even through all the suffering of this life, then there will come a time when all that suffering can be over and we can go on to live in heaven with Christ God. So, blessed is the man that waited and makes it through those difficult times, as Daniel tells us. Then we come to the New Testament. Come to the book of Matthew, chapter 11, and verse 6. unbeliever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Jesus offended a lot of people. There were a lot of people who didn't accept him as the Christ, didn't accept him as the Savior, Messiah. There were a lot of people that didn't believe in him. They were offended that he would claim to be the Son of God. And it turned them away from him. But he said, blessed is he whosoever is not offended. In other words, if we believe in him, if we come to him rather than being turned away by him and by his claims, we can have blessing. Isn't that true? The apostle said there is no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. The name of Jesus. Jesus is the only way. He himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So we have only one path to get to heaven. Jesus is that path. But we need to be sure that we're not offended by him. And how easy it is for us to be offended by Christ. He makes many demands on our time, on our money, on our activities, on our thoughts even, and the feelings and emotions of our hearts. There are a lot of people who are offended by all the demands he makes on them. And they want to have Jesus without having all of the demands that he makes. It doesn't work that way. You can't go and get your new car unless you sign the contract and agree to make the payment. And as long as you have that car under payment until you've paid for it and own the title yourself, as long as the bank or GMAC or whoever else has that title, you can't have that car without having insurance. You have to have insurance. The bank is going to let you drive that car around and maybe wreck that car and then be out all that. No, they've got to have insurance on that car for them. They're not going to be happy with you. You can't go and drive that car unless you have a driver's license. And even then, there are laws everywhere you go about how you drive. You have to stop at the stop sign. You have to obey the traffic signals. You have to obey the speed limit. There are all those regulations. And many people have their car confiscated because they disobey some of those laws and it winds up impounded at the police lot. Well, the same thing is true of Christ. We can't have Christ and we can't have all the benefits that come with having Christ in our life unless we're willing to make the payment. We have to be willing to sign that contract and take over the payment and follow and obey the rules and regulations that he set. But Jesus says that if we will do that, if we're not offended, not run off. You know, there are some cars that I'll never own because I can't afford the payments. But there are some people that come to Christ and they see what he demands of them and they say, it's too much. I can't do it. Jesus says, blessed is he that's not offended, that's not turned away by you. Then we see Matthew chapter 21. And verse 9, also a similar passage in Mark chapter 11 and verse 9, almost identical. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 9 says, and the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You remember, maybe you don't, when we were looking at the book of Psalms, how one of the Psalms said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Psalm 118 and verse 26. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So this passage, and certainly anyone who comes in the name of the Lord and who is obedient to God and shares that and shows that in their life, certainly is blessed. But more specifically now, we see that applied to Jesus. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus was truly blessed. And the more like him we become, the more blessed by God we will be. So if we limits to how far we go in trying to be like Jesus. We need to live like he lived. We need to live as an example to others. We need to follow his lifestyle. But certainly we don't have to and can't die for the sins of the world like he did. There's no way we can do that. But certainly we do, in every way possible, need to imitate his life. And then we see Matthew chapter 24 and verse 46, along with Luke 12, a passage that was read to us earlier, along with verse 43 in the book of Luke. But we see here that the person, the servant of God, who is doing his will when he returns is going to be blessed. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 46. Jesus says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." So doing what? Well, let's look back a few verses. Go back to verse 44. He says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." God has given all of us a duty to perform. Christ has given guidelines for us. All of us have duties to perform as Christians. Some different duties than others. Some different abilities than others. But whatever it is that God has given for us to do, we need to be doing it. Because if he comes and finds us not doing it, he will certainly be disappointed. But if he returns and finds that we are doing it, then we will be blessed. We look to Luke chapter 12 and verse 37. It says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants." You know, it must have been tempting for the early Christians, after Jesus didn't return 5, 10 years, 20 years, Jesus still hadn't come back. It must have been tempting to them to think, well, he's not going to come back. We might as well just go back to doing things the way we were before. But Jesus said, regardless of whether I come in the second watch or the third watch, regardless of how late at night it is, regardless of how long it is, before I return, you need to remain faithful. You need to keep watching and waiting, because I am coming back. Well, here it is now, 2,000 years later, and there are a lot of people who have said, well, he's not coming back. Maybe even begun to doubt if he ever even rose from the dead at all. Matter of fact, I had one young man tell me over the phone that he knew where Jesus' body was, but they had Jesus' body in Jerusalem. Jesus never rose from the dead. And he told me plain out that they knew Jesus never rose from the dead. He knew right where Jesus' body was. So what were we wasting our time for as Christians? Well, see, there are a lot of people who have begun to think that way, and they go on about their daily lives ignoring what Jesus said because they don't think he's coming back. Jesus said, you better be watching, you better be waiting, because at the point you don't think I'm coming back, that's when I'm going to show up. Have you ever worked for someone who perhaps left for a time and maybe left you in charge? Maybe it was even back all the way to school. I remember when the teacher used to leave the room, there was always somebody, she said, okay, you make sure everybody kind of stays straight. Well, now, what if that teacher came back and or that boss returned and found the very person that had been left in charge was being rowdy and causing trouble and not doing what was supposed to be done? How do you think that person is going to be treated? Well, certainly, that's not going to be a very profitable thing to do. How much more so then when Christ returns? Is he going to be prepared to punish those who have been disobedient and to bless those who have been faithful? We need to be sure that we're part of that group that's faithful. Notice what he says. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Most of the time when the master's been away, and the master comes back home, what's the first thing he does? You serve me. I've been traveling. You help me wash my feet, get me cleaned up, get me some dinner. I've been on the road. I'm tired. Get my bed ready. But what does this say Jesus is going to do? When he comes back and finds that we've been faithful to him and that we're watching and waiting for his return, he's not going to make us serve him. He's going to serve us. What a switch that is from the way the world works. The world doesn't work that way. But Jesus says that's the way it's going to be when he returns. He also says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. So he'll be reigning with Christ in heaven. If we remain faithful to him. Then we see in Luke chapter 14, verses 14 and 15. Luke chapter 14, verses 14 and 15. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Jesus points out that there are certain things that we can do now that no one here on earth can pay us for. They can't provide adequate payment for it. But if we do those things anyway, we'll be paid for that. We'll be recompensed. We'll be given our due for those things at the resurrection. But then he goes on to say in verse 15, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these sayings, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. As Christians, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we have the opportunity to eat that bread in the kingdom of God. But more than that, we have a spiritual bread, the Word of God, the bread of life, Jesus said he was. He left his teachings and his life here for us in the form of the Bible. We can eat of that bread and that meat and that milk of the Word. We have all of those. We can be sustained spiritually by that. So we're blessed doubly. One, blessed by the Lord's Supper that he left for us. The second, blessed by his teaching that he has left for us. But those blessings come only in the kingdom of God. People outside the kingdom of God can read this Bible every day, day and night, all their life. But if they never obey it and never come into the kingdom, what good will it do them? It won't bless them. Now certainly they may live a better life than someone who doesn't know anything about it. They might be more moral. They might be upstanding members of their community. Certainly so. But they're not going to have the blessings of God. Because those blessings are only in Christ Jesus. Then we see Romans chapter 4 and verse 8. Again, a quote from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms. 32nd Psalm in verse 2. Paul says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Certainly, as Christians, again, this is one of those blessings that we can only receive in Christ. God does not forgive the sins of everyone in the world. He only forgives the sins of those who have come in contact with his son's blood. The only way to come in contact with that blood baptism. Then we see James chapter 1 and verse 12, kind of an echo of the passage in Daniel. Sometimes a passage can be echoed in the New Testament and become so much more meaningful for us because we know that we are under the New Testament law. But he says there, James chapter 1 and verse 12, Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Not the man that yields to temptation, no, the one that endures the temptation makes it through. That's when we get blessed. Certainly all of us are tempted. Sometimes we fall to that temptation. Sometimes we don't. The times that we're blessed are the times when we don't fall to that temptation. Certainly we can learn from the times that we did fall to temptation and did sin. We can learn from that. We can make corrections in our life to avoid having that happen again. But we're not blessed by those. What we're blessed by is those times when we face the temptation and we were able to endure and make it through on the other side. Then we have the strength, next time we face that temptation, to resist that temptation even easier. If you're here this morning and you perhaps aren't a Christian, you need to become one so that you can have some of these blessings that are only for Christians. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been taking advantage of all the blessings available in Christ, been kind of like at a smorgasbord buffet and you're only eating one dish. Enjoy all the dishes that are available. God has provided all of these blessings. Why do we just satisfy ourselves with one? We need to take advantage of these blessings. God has put them there for us to have. We're not taking advantage of these blessings. We need to change something about the way we're living so that we can have them. You're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation. I ask you to